Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by a YouTuber and inventor, former plumber, who can get 55 mile an hour out of a working toilet.
And you'll be amazed how many people subscribe to his YouTube channel.
That's right. We also had a bit of a chat about various things, and you got involved in some of that as well. And we brought you Martin Kellner.
Yes.
With his week of sport on TV. We looked at the
Ali Ross.
Ali Ross was on
good
form.
Yeah,
he was on very good form as he wondered whether Aberdeen could keep out Rangers and stop them winning every game this season. So we spoke to him. And Mike Ward with the pick of the non-sporting telly. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And we are trying to get to the bottom, I think, as everybody is. Even a man in the know like Simon Calder, travel expert from The Independent, is trying to find out exactly what the rules are around travelling to Portugal and how that will affect City and Chelsea fans. We heard from Kim, one of our production team, who took a punt last week and booked flights into Porto to get there on Thursday and come back the following Monday, I think. So it looked as if, from what we heard 24 hours ago, he wouldn't be able to do that. The only way in and out of the country to watch that game was to go in on charter flights, come home that night. But why put that information out, knowing that 24 hours later, as a country, you're going to change your rules?
Yeah, the trouble is it's such a fluid situation with the Indian variant. It could easily be that they go back to this one day in out thing, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get too excited.
Simon's going to have a look for us, and if you are looking to travel, because a lot of people now may think, you know what, I just want to be in the city. As a lot of people are around, they can't get a ticket, they just want to be there and they want to be around the team and be around the other fans. They may have an opportunity to do that with the appropriate testing, but we'll find out for you anyway.
And to the pitch last night, and really, honestly, these protests have done Liverpool such a massive turn, really, because there's no question about it that had that game been played last Sunday when it was supposed to be played, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, it would have been a completely different game. I mean, United looked like Sheffield United. They were pathetic, really.
Didn't have a great night, did they? No Maguire, I think you realise how important he is, don't you?
And he would have played. So it's really done them a favour. And then, of course, Chelsea losing has just brought everybody back into it. I mean, it's funny. It's not just me. I've spoken to about three Chelsea fans in the office today. They're all panicking. They are.
Whoa.
Because they can see that this great season could be, you could finish fourth and win two cups.
Yeah.
You could also finish fifth and win nothing.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
That's the jeopardy, John, of football. And, but what is it with you and Arsenal, for goodness sake? You are. They've just got a sign on you, haven't they? Every time you play them, cup finals, important league
Arsenal
matches.
Arsenal pathetic. I hope Arteta stays forever. They are. That was like Stoke.
You weren't expecting anything else, Arsenal fans. You weren't expecting a done.
They know their team's pathetic.
A great rear guard action.
Be one Arsenal fan that thinks their team isn't rubbish. They are useless. That was like Stoke in the sort of mid 2000s under Pulis, coming nicking a goal like Charlie Adams, like a long range or something over Courtois, and then hanging on for the 1-0.
Yeah.
That's what that game was.
Did you put this to Martin Keown?
Yeah, I did.
Did he give you the eyes?
No, he couldn't disagree with me. I said that was the spawniest win in Premier League history.
Wow.
We missed a gilt-edged chance. Oh, Chelsea have missed so many chances this season. Honestly, No team misses more. I told you, Mount set up up to 2 weeks ago, and he's probably set up more since then. He set up 77 chances. And I think 4 goals had come from it. Yeah. You know, it's pathetic.
You've had an extra 24 hours.
70
to
of those were 70 of those were Werner.
Yeah,
and then Havertz. I mean, how did he miss that chance?
Yeah,
and then we give them a goal. We say they were never scoring in that game ever.
Yeah,
and then they hung on and hung on and off.
Yeah, no look
ball.
Passes to the keeper. They're not in the handbook, are they? Really, it's never a great idea.
You know, Jorginho, before that he did that, he was having a poor game. He fell over, nearly put them in. He was under pressure. He wasn't playing well. Gilmore, though, he was playing brilliantly. He was passing the ball forward. He was everything that good was happening through Chelsea, because he didn't do anything in the second half, was coming from Gilmore. And it's such a manager's thing, that, isn't it? You've got two players playing in the centre of the pitch, and you take off the young one because it's much harder to take off the senior player.
Yeah.
I was really unimpressed with that, Tuchel. I thought it was a massive mistake. He should have taken
Jorginho. So it's made things, whereas you could have had a cigar on today, it has suddenly made things quite...
It's difficult.
Won't it affect tomorrow? Do you think it might affect the Chelsea's confidence?
Instead of thinking about going to the finals and thinking, well, we're basically third and going, they're now going to the match below Leicester... knowing that a draw with Leicester next week it will suit Leicester and not good enough for Chelsea. Yeah. And it's...
Do you know what, Andy? I think if Leicester win the FA Cup, they may have a cigar on when you play them in the league.
Yeah,
so you may have to forfeit the FA Cup to beat them in the league.
You just don't know, do you? You take it each game as it comes. And you
that's very much
you
want, so,
you want to win. You want to win every game you can.
You do.
It's, talking about the game next week, of course, it's a massive game at the Bridge. And I was lucky enough to get tickets, the 2-2. I applied through the season tickets.
Mm.
And Chelsea have got this maddest policy that makes absolutely no sense. Both my season tickets are in my name.
Right, yes.
Right. So, but if you the ticket that you have has to be in the name of the person owning the season tickets. So, in this case, it's my son.
Yeah.
And his name isn't on my season tickets. So, we can't go.
Right.
So, only I can go on my own.
Mm. You haven't got time to re-register it in his name.
If it said D. Jacobs instead of A. Jacobs, I could go to the match with him. But because it says A. Jacobs, I can't.
You know why this is, though, don't you?
I do know why it is, but I understand it for corporate things. But it's two tickets that are in my name, and it's me and my son.
It's got nothing to do with it being corporate. What it's about is the person that they know's name is on the ticket is the person that's going. Mm. So the person that says they've had the test, the person that when they...
I can't both of me go. It's just me.
No.
My tickets say A. Jacobs on both tickets. So
Did Tottenham made us re-register our season tickets. Mine were actually in mine and my son's name, so it's not a problem, my youngest lad's name. But for those that had them in the same name, they were told to re-register in another name because of COVID. So you weren't asked to do that by Chelsea? Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
so
in that
basically,
case, they've missed a trick.
I'll end up having to go on my own, which is a real shame, you know. Mm. And fortunately, they were lucky enough to be going to the final tomorrow. And
nice.
That is also a bit of a faff, but you understand why.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It's quite an effort, really. And you, especially if you've been vaccinated twice, you are thinking, oh, golly, I've got to do all this. But you do have to.
What have you got to do tomorrow, then, before the game?
You had to take a flow test yesterday. A flow test. Yesterday, I took one, and it was easy enough. But then I don't know what is interesting. The one for the accreditation for the Euros. Have you seen the form?
Yes, I filled it in.
15 minutes. It took me. That's really long, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically
it's a belt and braces special.
They
that
give
one.
You a test. You're given an online health and safety test by UEFA, which is a good idea.
Oh, is but, it? I kept getting 5 out of 6. I had to keep going back.
They're very easy questions.
They weren't.
Basically, they give you about.
They require memory. You've got to remember what you've just seen.
They give
and
you
then
about
the
50 or 60. Words to read, and then you click. And so, if you're a bit of a chancer like Andy, you think, "Oh yeah, read that," but you haven't read it at all.
No,
it's like T's and C's, but they're not that long. And you click through, but then it asks you a couple of questions, quite easy questions, and it's multiple choice. It might say, you know, what should you do before you go into the stadium? A, sneeze on everybody. B, wear a mask. Have you got that wrong,
Andy?
Like you don't deserve
choices,
to go.
And then you had to match each choice. It was quite complicated.
I got
some interesting news about the Duke of Kent.
Well, hold that thought. Touch that dial, listeners.
I'll never get to it now.
No, you will.
That's 5 to 4 people going, what was that interesting news about
the
Duke of Kent?
There's some transfer stories today involving European players.
Duke of Kent.
Duke of Kent? Where's he going? Arsenal?
He's going to the Dutch royal family.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Well, Colin Furze has quite the following on social media.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
11 million people following his antics.
Does he do makeup tips?
Well, he doesn't need to. He just puts engines on stuff and does comes up with mad inventions.
Incredible.
And including a toilet that can go 55 mile an hour, fully flushable.
Yes.
A working loo. We just watched it in action. It's the attention to detail is incredible. We're calling this sport. Good afternoon, Colin.
Good afternoon. You know we do it.
Yes, it's so good. Yeah, I mean, we're very... I mean, the toilet is a standout for yeah. us. I mean, what made you think you would... I mean, the fact it's not just a toilet sort of bowl there sitting with an engine attached. You've a working loo.
Oh, it's the full room, isn't it? We've got, like, the gear knob is the bog brush.
Mm.
The newspaper covers up the handlebar, so it just looks like you sat there reading the newspaper. You know, we all like to do a bit of that. Like I said, you can flush the loo from the controls. It's got, like, air shifters on it. So you've got a little switch on the handlebar, like F1 style. And then the exhaust pipe is the toilet roll stanchion. And if you like a proper revit and it's got a bit of toilet roll on there, it all flares up into the air. It's a masterpiece. One of my finest works.
It is. I mean, this is probably a decent living, isn't it? 11 million subscribers. How long's that taking you to build up?
Oh, 12 years or something now. It's been a while. I was one of the early people on YouTube. I started in 2006. I should probably have more followers, to be fair. But, you know, I'm happy with me 11 mil.
Oh, no, it's pretty good. It's impressive.
So, I mean, yeah, the footage of you doing it is quite impressive as well. I mean, what got you into this in the first place? What made you start, you know, motorising mundane stuff?
Well, I used to be a plumber, which is a lovely job. And then in my spare time, I just started making weird and wonderful things. And obviously back in the day when the internet was in its infancy, as I used to film it sort of thing, document it a little bit. Then I started uploading things to YouTube, and then people liked seeing how it was made and the build process. So I kind of started doing that, and then it just come to a point where plumbing got in the way. Mm. And then I could stop plumbing and then go full time into being a stupid person that puts engines in things and comes up with all sorts of crazy inventions. So,
wow. Yeah,
I mean,
still,
ain't life great?
Toilet with an engine would have been good in your plumbing days to turn
it
up
would
at
have
a
been,
job.
Yeah, man, you'd go turn up and do a quote and you'd pull up actually on a loo and you were doing a bathroom. That would be, I mean, I'd be impressed with
I'd
that.
Be impressed
I'd,
with that.
I'd give you the contract, certainly.
Well, exactly. I always find it a little bit boring when you turn up and people just want a set of taps changing and you don't want fire or anything coming out of them.
The other thing I think is good is that whenever you ride on your motorised toilet, you pull your kecks down around your ankles. Not you don't go the full Monty,
no.
I see. But it's still, I think it adds to it. It adds to the visual with the trousers around
well,
the ankles.
You couldn't really do a standing job because you'd be back to the front.
Well, it's too dangerous. Yes, very much. It's
I
very
think
much.
I did have a go.
Right.
I had a go at doing it, leaving it run on the tick over.
Right.
Letting it trundle along. But it, like you said, it is a bit weird because, you know, when it like hits a bit of a bump in the road, then kind of stutters, you ended up well half laying over your own work sort of thing, which is not the best.
So what other things have you added?
What about a standing urinal? That'd be quite good.
Well, you're obsessed with toilets, and do you want a motorised? I'll get you a motorised urinal if Colin will make
it.
I suppose you could use like a what do you call those things you when you're going on
Segway.
You could have a Segway with the handlebars on the side of the loo. Have we just given you an idea there, Colin? Are you thinking about that or not?
Potentially have. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to film this in a family friendly manner.
That's true. You need a little GoPro on, but don't obviously look down. Whatever you do, other things that you've been on Top Gear, haven't you? Been doing a bit of work with those guys?
Yeah, I just did a James Bond cover, and we got a Z3, and I put guns, flamethrowers, it had smoke, internal smoke, it had you push the button on the gear knob and you got a Rich Tea biscuit fired at the stereo.
Nice.
Things like that.
That's good.
But yeah, I worked with him before as well, and got a Dodgem car to do 100 mile an hour.
Oh, that's
CBR
that'd be good, yeah.
Engine in it. That was proper ferocious, that thing was.
How quick would that old Ted have to be to jump on the back and start chatting you up? That used to be the when I was there, the staple of the Dodgem. A couple of girls in a Dodgem, suddenly a bloke would appear with a sort of a quiff. DA, you know, jump on the back. Hello, girls, you all right? That was the role, wasn't it, of the Dodgem Lothario. Yeah, yep. But you didn't 100 mile an hour. Not a great idea. And you've done a bit of Star Wars stuff as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've worked with Disney with Star Wars a few times. We've built a land speeder, which was the latest thing we did, fully out of metal, like properly metal shaped, bent it all. We've done a TIE silencer, which was like the new version of a TIE fighter. That was full size. That was massive. That was about 17 metres long. It was a U-script thing. And then we did an 80-80 or an 80-ACT, it was called, which is like one of those big giant robot camels, as Family Guy call them.
Yeah.
Which they wouldn't like me calling them. I was specifically told not to call them that in the video.
Right, okay.
But, like being like electronic dog things. So we made a huge one there, which was like a kid's playhouse. So like a ladder come down and it went upside and it was like a bit like a treehouse thing for kids, wow, with toys and stuff. So they were all done with eBay and bits and bobs. So everything, we tried to buy everything off eBay to construct them. So
Well, apart from the Segway urinal that Andy will buy off you, is there anything else you're kind of working on at the moment you can tell us about?
Yeah, I'm just doing some bicycles at the moment. My last project, I did this bicycle of hydraulics where basically I swapped out all the tubes on a bicycle. Hmm. I swapped for hydraulic rams so the whole thing could stretch and change shape. And then there was a lot of people saying, well, why don't you hydraulically drive it? So I'm just messing around to see if I can get like a hydraulically driven bicycle. So I'm messing around with oil and pipes and stuff.
Sounds like a lot of hydraulics.
Yeah,
it's all complete plumbing, really. Yeah.
It's all play. You're basically still a plumber, but it's more fun. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, look, well done, Colin. Good to talk to you. And so where we can find you? Is it just under Colin Furze, your YouTube channel?
Yep, Colin Furze, or if you Google it, you'll get all sorts of stuff come up. But yeah, it's mainly the YouTube channel.
Yeah, we are. 11 million people, can't be wrong. Fantastic. Sure. Cheers, Colin.
Thanks very much.
It's
all right. Have a good day.
There we are. It's great. This is what the world it's home. Now, there was Colin. He was a jobbing plumber, and now he's a YouTube sensation. He makes his living through doing that. You know, the world has opened up.
Oh, yeah.
Where could you become? I still think
your
Chelsea
sensation.
Rants, straight after the final whistle when you're at your most rabid. I think
you wouldn't get 11 million subscribers.
I'm not so sure. I normally get the brunt of it.
No, it's a bit like Arsenal Fan TV, isn't it? People would tune in just to see me suffer.
Melt down. Yeah, of course they would. Yeah, I mean, you could be the new.
Meanwhile, back at the Duke of Kent.
Oh yeah, what's happening? Yeah, what's happening in the Duke of Kent at the moment? I wouldn't drink anywhere else.
I didn't know this, but the Duke of Kent is the patron of the Tank Museum.
Is he?
Yeah, and the only reason he got involved with it is it was a museum dedicated to the tanking of Nick Kyrgios. He thought it was tennis.
Oh, okay. I see. I'm with you now.
Yeah, there you go.
Thomas Tuchel, we've been told. They still use this phrase, don't they? He said he's been handed a war chest. He will be handed a war chest. No, he won't.
Poor war chest. I don't think he will.
He's not Pirates of the Caribbean.
First of all, they're going to have to sell a few players.
But wouldn't it be great if they marched over to him with a massive chest and you bought all your players in doubloons? That would be great. Or we're looking at Sancho, but they want too many doubloons for him.
The thing is, what they should do, Chelsea, is sell the likes of Bakayoko and Batshuayi and Zappacosta.
We could all sell off our rubbish.
You can sell all those for, you know, bargain basement. Then you'll have enough money to buy somebody decent.
You should be the finance director.
Well, I think so.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Anything else you want to share with the class?
Yes. Engagements in the Times. I'm very pleased to see the engagement has been announced between Mr. CLS Bosom and Miss CLS.
How are you spelling that, Andy?
B-O-S-S-O-M. Bosom. Yeah.
I don't think that. I'd be surprised if.
He's a buddy of mine. I know that's how you spell it.
I'd be surprised if the Bosom or the Bosom family pronounced.
Yeah,
I think you're taking. They're the Bosoms, aren't they?
I don't
know if it's Ian Bosom. But if your name is spelled B-O-S-S-O-M, you don't pronounce your name Bosom, do you?
Not really,
you don't go for the laughs when you don't need to.
And why is David Beckham...
Who's Bosom marrying? Bosom marrying, by the way. Was it something that tied in?
No,
was it?
Just Miss Hunter. So,
oh, okay.
Well done for that.
Okay.
And why is David Beckham in the Friends reunion is what I want. What's he got to do with David Beckham?
Well, I don't know.
Pointless, isn't it? Some of these things. I mean,
David Beckham's. You want planning news? I didn't tell Bill I haven't got the jingle. Oh yeah, the Beckhams want to build a barn for tractors and lawnmowers at their country retreat. We're told.
Really?
Proposals for the new garden machinery store, beautifully done. Can't say tractors again. Have been submitted to local planning officials. It's a great gig, this, on a tabloid newspaper these days. That they say.
Crazy, isn't it?
Bit quiet today. We could do with like 200 words on the Beckhams. Well, I'll have a look through the planning news. So you're going to the old local planning in the Cotswolds. Yeah. Sure enough, up it pops. The building will be used for equipment to tend the garden grounds and field. Yes, a tractor. Not going to be used for water skiing, is it? Documents submitted to West Oxfordshire District Council describe the outbuilding of simple but high quality design.
Well, it would
That's
be.
Nice. Yeah. Bat boxes and space in the roof for birds to nest will also be fitted. So there we are. That was planning news.
Planning news.
Good, isn't it?
Planning
Steve
news.
Steve Hartley is fine.
Anyway, Ali Ross joins us shortly. Aberdeen, the mighty Aberdeen, his team are the only thing that stand between Rangers and the perfect season. Adrian Durham saying he's all over the Scottish papers today, saying on Drive yesterday he thinks it's a greater achievement than Celtic doing the same thing, should they do it. This was a team that 10 years ago were rock bottom, were in the fourth tier, looking to fight their way back. He said it's a special achievement. If they do it, can Aberdeen stop them? And what do Aberdeen make of being in this new third tier European competition? Plus, the Scotland squad announced next week. More on that, I think, with Jim on,
Billy Gilmore
on the show. So we'll get, as Ali is a big Tartan Army fan, we will get his take on that as well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, Aberdeen stand between Rangers and the perfect season, going unbeaten. As we said, our own Adrian Durham, he's adorning many a Scottish newspaper today. Adrian Durham insists, says the Scottish Sun, Rangers finishing the season unbeaten less than a decade after playing in the fourth tier would be the greatest achievement ever in domestic Scottish football.
Such a wind-up.
It's been cranking up the Celtic fans, but look, you take his point. It's been some turnaround for the club. So how fired up is Tartan Army foot soldier and Aberdeen fan Ali Ross, Sun TV columnist. Good afternoon, Ali.
Afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. I mean, there's nothing really right. It's not going to make any difference to Aberdeen, this game. You are sort of, I think you're fourth, aren't you? And you're not moving from that.
We are, yeah. We're six points adrift of Hibs, which is, you don't want to be there, I tell you.
So really, the only thing to play for is to stop this record. Do you think your boys will be fired up for this?
They will not have the flip-flops on tomorrow, I would suggest. I think you're probably aware of the animosity between these two clubs. I don't think motivation is going to be a problem for the boys at all. We've spoilt their party before on the last day of the season as well. Back in 88-89, I think we won 3-0 at Ibrox. So they won't be coasting. No one who supports Aberdeen, I think, wants Rangers to, would have wanted Rangers to win the league anyway. So we don't want them to do it with a flourish, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware. You lose track in Scotland who hates who. I didn't realise. You do, though, don't you? Everybody hates
very
somebody.
Very important, Andy.
Yeah. I don't think Rangers and Celtic get on.
No, I
think
know
we'll
that.
Start from. And then basically everything is like from that. Everything kind of falls from that point, really. But I mean,
you can imagine it as a load of arrows. They're all pointing at Govan in Glasgow.
Oh, okay, yeah. Fair enough. But, you know, when you've got Sir Alex Ferguson talking up the job that Steve and Gerrard have done, that is pretty impressive. I mean, begrudgingly, though he is the Rangers manager, I mean, he has done a pretty good job there, Ali, hasn't he?
He's done what he should do, really, hasn't he? He's won one trophy out of nine. You know, you're talking about a club with a turnover of 65 million compared with Ross County, I'm guessing somewhere between probably 3 and 4 million. Aberdeen's only 15, so I mean, really, if one trophy out of nine, it's pretty much the least you'd expect. But
I think the answer is no, he doesn't deserve any credit.
Of course he does.
He's not getting any from me. That's for sure. About as much as Adrian Durham.
Yes. So, now you find yourself this. You've been in the Europa League for a minute, but they have a new tournament now. The Conference Plate, I think Max Rushton has been calling it, the UEFA Conference Plate, of the poor man's Europa League. You find some of the far-flung corners.
Well, no, it's that one. It can't be on Thursdays as well.
I think it's 3:15 on a Wednesday, 3:15 a.m. on a Wednesday. They'll just fit it in when they can.
Wake up to it. That would be better, wouldn't it?
Breakfast football. But how do you feel about this? Because I mean, I know you like a road trip. You like to go to places you've never been before, and there'll be far-flung corners. There'll be kind of Greek islands that have yet to be explored, that have got 11 players out to play.
Count me in if that's the case. But you know, I might not bother going to the game. That's the only thing. I know Tartan Army guys that just go for the R&R. Guys have been going 30 years and not seen a single game. They're just there for the party. So what did you say that trophy was called again?
I keep forgetting. It's the Euro. Is Europa Conference? Is it the Conference Plate? It's not the Conference Plate, is it? No, it's
the Europa Ryman's League.
It's the UEFA Europa Conference League Plate.
My friend Dave Tully has just texted me. He's a big Celtic fan. He said, oh, it's so much better than Celtic's proper quadruple in 1967. Do me a favour, he says.
Oh, well, see, they're all arguing with Adrian.
Mind you, he did text me during the Arsenal game to tell me how good Tierney was. I gave that short shrift.
I'm sure you did. Yes, indeed. I should really know. We've lost Ali. We should find out what this... it is called the UEFA Europa Conference League. Pathetic, I mean, with respect to our good friends at Torquay and Woking, etc., as soon as you put the word conference in there, really, I mean,
it's going to be worse for the English team that finishes seventh or eighth that gets into it, because they'll be far too good for it.
You would think. Oh, we've got, UEFA Europa Conference League, Ali, is what it's officially known as. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I got so excited about it, I think I might have cut myself off there. Either that, I was going to have a go at Adrian Durham.
fair enough.
That's right, he cuts the line. He's got control. He's got control. That's right, he's got control of all the lines.
He is the Matrix.
We're not far off of announcing the Scotland squad, and I know we're going to be doing plenty on that. Jim White, he's heading up to be involved in the coverage. So you're excited? Yeah. There's a couple of injuries along the way, a bit of a blow along the way so far, yeah.
We lack a holding midfielder now. But I think Andy and I have the solution to that in the shape of Billy Gilmour.
Yeah, we certainly do. I thought he was so good against City. He was in the second half. He was so good in the first half. And I don't know why, I was saying earlier in the show, why he hooked him. I cannot believe it. He was so much better than Jorginho. And we missed him in the second half. We did.
Yeah. Well, hoping to goodness that he'll be in the final 26, because I think he's a class act, and I know all the Scotland fans are very excited about him and want him in that final group. So
he passes the ball forward. It's quite a rare thing these days.
he passes to a member of the same team.
Yeah, that's also something
rare.
He does as well. Yeah, it's true.
It's incredible.
As we
anything like it.
As we get closer, Ali, how are you feeling about the Euros? Confident or not?
Not particularly confident on a playing front, but I've just found out I've got tickets for both the games either side of England. So I'm hugely excited about it now. I'd written the whole thing off mentally, but now I'm having to actually arrange to go to the games. So
brilliant.
Bring it on.
Croatia and the Czech Republic, that'll be, yes?
Yeah, Czech Republic first and then Croatia to round things off.
Fantastic.
To make qualification a formality.
Yeah, that's right. You can coast. You can just sort of knock it about, play the kids that day.
It's quite a tough group, isn't it?
It is a tough group, you know.
It's unforgiving. Yeah.
Yes, it certainly is. Well, enjoyed the column today, Ali. It was a lot of fun. My favourite line in it, I'm not involved the Davina McCall show, and I'm not even a work of genius, but I'm not sure I can say it at this time of day, but we send people to go and find Ali's column in the Sunday. It's very funny, as always. Just finally, you have your sort of bad answers in quizzes section, don't you, of course?
I can hear Andy grumbling away already.
No, I love it.
No, he loves it. No, he enjoys it. He likes the duff. Although you had it, he was in
My
there
problem
once.
Is I would have given the wrong answer every time as well, but it doesn't matter.
But Gabiag Bonlahor was on Breakfast with Alan Brazil and Jamie O'Hara the other day, and you may want to add this to the next one. Ever listen to this?
The tallest mountain in Europe is situated in the French Alps. But what's the mountain called?
Are you joking?
No.
Mount Everest.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we are. That's yours.
They're on merit.
Marvellous.
Have that one on
us. Yeah, name check. Definitely.
Yeah, that's it.
Always. Just for you too.
Ali, we'll catch up with you soon. All the best.
Brilliant.
God bless you. Take care.
There we are. So, check that out. It should be... Can Rangers do it? Can they go through the season undefeated?
It would be a good achievement.
Yeah, of course it would be.
Not like winning the European Cup, let's be honest. Dave's right.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, we speak to Martin Kellner, who is Week of Sport on TV. A little bit of housekeeping. Kerry's been in touch. Kerry says, after listening to Andy earlier on talking about the name Bosom, B-O-S-S-O-M, I can 100% confirm that it is not pronounced like that. I'm Kerry, and my name is pronounced Bossom.
Well done.
But I did forget to say that a lot of people have called me Kerry Bosom for most of my life, so it happens.
Especially, I'd have called yourself Cherry. Cherry Bossom.
That's a nice idea. Anyway, joining us now, Martin Kellner. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon. Interesting you mentioned Bossom, which is really neither one thing nor the other, is it really? Because I've been watching Gods of Snooker, which is this new three-part thing on the BBC.
Oh, yeah.
So it's on each Sunday. Episode 2 will be on this Sunday. I've watched the first two of them. And the fine pundit Julie Welch, who you'll know very well because she's a keen Spurs fan, you should write brilliant stuff in The Observer and everything. She's one of the talking heads in Gods of Snooker. And she explains how it suddenly became sexy, how, you know, it got the female audience, if you like. And she said, yeah, it became sexy because it was these smart men and they were bending down over the table, fiddling about with that cue and everything.
Right.
Now, I don't exactly know what she's talking about, but as it is Julie, we'll cut her some slack there. But I found it great fun, actually, this Gods of Snooker thing. Although I have to say that our mutual friend Stuart Weir, who did work in the world of snooker for some time, has just when I advertised on Twitter that I would be reviewing the show, he says, I can't ever watch things like Gods of Snooker because the backstory, which is never told, is 100 times better.
Right.
Although usually so unbelievable, few would believe it anyway.
Oh.
Having said all that, this is good fun. I mean, it's a feast of nostalgia. You know, if you hanker for the work of people like Clive Everton, Dickie Davis, and David Icke, interestingly enough, among the people doing these. He did a lot of the snooker in the early days. And it goes back, obviously, it goes back to the 1970s, 1972, when Alex Higgins won the World Snooker Championship. But in those days, it wasn't even televised. It was in some down-at-heel British Legion, as it was described, near Birmingham. And obviously, Alex Higgins won it. There have been quite a few Alex Higgins documentaries, and there's not a lot of new stuff in this. In fact, the whole thing starts with the famous press conference where he retired from professional snooker, clearly totally drunk, paralytic actually. When his famous quote was, you can shove your snooker, you'll know the quote.
Yes.
It might not be suitable for family viewing at this time of the day, but you know what he said. And then there's bits of 1982 and the Falklands War and Mrs. Thatcher and all that stuff, which always, I sometimes I think, you know, Mrs. Thatcher's whole sort of whole era. I've forgotten, apart from the fact that it crops up in any sports documentary you watch about the 1980s, there is always a bit of Mrs. Thatcher and a bit of the Falklands. But the first show, which people may have seen last Sunday, was the one where basically contrasting Ray Reardon, who was the former copper, and Alex Higgins, of course, who brought snooker, I suppose, into the popular arena and did lots of that stuff that Stuart Weir bridled at. Mm. But, you know, you had Ray Reardon, the ex-copper, then Alex Higgins, who was a sort of like a force of nature, if you like. And Ray Reardon is complaining on the show that any time anybody wants to interview him, they want to interview him about Alex Higgins. And he's very feeling. He says, I won it six times. I won the championship six times. He only won it twice. You know, why do you want to speak about him?
Point, but, really.
He did have the nickname Dracula as well. Not the greatest of nicknames.
No.
Is it being called Dracula?
And so, there was the other one called the Grinder. The Thorburn.
Cliff Thorburn.
Cliff Thorburn was called the
Grinder. It's a three-part of this, isn't it? So
it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Well,
I've watched,
do you know what?
The first two.
I've recorded it. I should get out of my way and get it sorted. It sounds like
it's
very, very good.
It's worth watching.
Yeah. You've been onto the EPL Legends documentaries you've been watching this week.
Yeah,
this
they sort of crop up in the middle of other fine documentaries on the Sky Documentary Channel. The David Ginola one was very interesting. Mm. I'm sure you'd be interested in that. Obviously, he wasn't exactly the major choice of managers who like a work ethic. And as he said in it, his last three managers in his Premier League career were George Graham, John Gregory, and David Moyes. And you could see why his career sort of fizzled out at that point. But you know, when he was at Newcastle, fantastic. And obviously, you've got some of the goals that he scored at Newcastle. And then when the fame, you know, I would love it. Title slipped away for Kevin Keegan. Keegan then passed it on to Dalglish. And again, it was a different style of management. With David Ginola, it had to be, you know, you could tell when managers changed and, you know, Spurs when George Graham came in, when Kenny Dalglish came in at Newcastle, you knew that he wasn't going to be a favourite of those managers because whatever you said about David Ginola, his work ethic wasn't the best. Hmm. And of course he fell out. There were a lot of fallings out, but he was very honest on this show. And I thought it was a great interview. Obviously kicking off with the France-Bulgaria match in November 1993, when he carried the can for the failure completely. So of course a 19-year fallout really with Gerard Houllier. Hmm. So it was basically David Ginola versus the various managers, but was, you know, at the height, and some of it was, and certainly when it was at Newcastle, it was like a love story, you know.
He's a wonderful player to watch. Yeah, when he's playing for your team, he was just in full flight. It was just something else.
And so, he said he was so good in that programme about Bosman as well.
Oh,
it was excellent.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy.
He is a lovely guy.
Now, we got a bit of this is an interest. This is a rugby league documentary you've watched on a particular part of a famous player's career.
Yeah, this was interesting. Apparently, there's this thing called YouTube. I think a lot of the young people...
The kids love it, apparently.
The kiddies love it. Mm. And I just happened to know what I was looking for. I might have been looking for something else, but up popped this I might be. I don't know what I was looking for. But anyway... I'll tell you what popped up. Yeah, Elry Hanley at the Tigers. It's it's an Australian documentary. He had a stint playing in Australia. I mean, he was brilliant here, and you remember him for Wigan. Playing in Challenge Cup finals and such like. He had a stint at the Balmain Tigers in Australia in 1988. Mm. The Australian competition always thought to be a lot tougher, a lot harder to succeed in than the British competition. And I'd just forgotten just how good... I'm just really just directing rugby league fans to look for Elry Hanley on YouTube. And it's like a 20-minute documentary. And when you look at how well he performed in Australia, when you didn't have a lot of the rules and a lot of the protocol that you have now about tackling and about sort of two players turning another player upside down, you know, where you can suffer really serious head injuries and neck injuries. All those things didn't exist in 1988. And when you look at how he mixed it with some really, really tough players, you think to yourself, he's got to be possibly the best rugby league player ever. It's a really, really good documentary.
There was one famous incident where he was concussed and the feeling was that the guy had taken a shot at him, wasn't there, and got away with it.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of that. And, you know, not just one incident, but quite a few of them. I mean, he had the toughness and the pace was phenomenal. And I just really wanted to point that out for rugby league fans. I know there are a few out there. And it's on YouTube because it might just pass you. It passed me by. I'd never seen it before.
Yeah. Oh, that's some great stuff on there. Some brilliant old documentary stuff. You don't have to, now you've discovered YouTube, Martin. You should dig a bit deeper. I know you do.
Yes,
I know. So look, you're back overnight, I understand.
Yes, apparently I am at 1 o'clock in the morning on TalkSport and Talk Radio.
What, have you got stuff lined up? Do you know what's in it yet? Can you
tease? Yeah, can I tease what's in it? We will be talking to the aforementioned Stuart Weir.
Okay.
We'll also be, I don't know what's in it.
You've got a cast of people who join you.
I've got a cast of regulars. I mean, there's only going to be a limited number of people who are going to be able to broadcast live on the radio, you know, with any sort of fluency at 3 o'clock in the morning. So it tends to, but you know, we cover a lot of stuff. Oh, I'll tell you what we're going to cover tonight. Mm. We've got a guy who covers Latin American news and sport.
Yes.
And he's going to be talking about the battle for Maradona's millions. You may have seen
this
in the papers.
Yes.
It's a fierce battle. And Maradona remains a huge story in Latin America and especially in Argentina. So we will talk about that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, if you've ever played football and you suffer from cramp, here might be a tip for you.
Oh, yeah.
Great British Bake Off judge Prue Leith, 81, we don't need to know that, sleeps with potatoes in her bed to fend off cramp, her son revealed.
Yes, is that right?
So if you're getting cramp,
what do you do with the potatoes?
Put a potato down your sock.
You put a potato down your
sock
in bed.
How's that going to work? That can't work at all, can it?
What do you do with the potatoes?
I don't know. You put them in your bed.
You put them.
That's all it says.
You put potatoes in your bed for cramp.
I'm not Prue Leith's son. I've no idea how she puts potatoes in her bed and how many.
Maybe you can flesh this out for us TalkSport listeners before 4 o'clock, because I haven't got a clue how that's going to help you with cramp.
Not at all.
Yeah, Mark Coates says, great to hear the TalkSport seal was alive and well.
Remember? Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, it was a regular occurrence.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
So, what about the non-sporting TV this weekend? There's plenty of sport, but now and again, you may like a break. If that's the case, Mike Ward, Brighton supporting Mike Ward, is your man as always. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hi, guys.
So, what's our Brighton? We should always have a little prelim Brighton
chat.
What about you and West Ham this weekend? I mean, are you going to be up for it or not? On the beach, you think?
I do think so, yeah. I mean, from just past experience, you just...
Sandy beach or a stony beach?
Very much a stony beach. Unless the tide's out, a sort of shingly beach. Possibly, I don't think they'll be going down to that one somehow.
Okay, but, well, look, you're safe. You can
it's
relax.
It's weird, and thanks Burnley for sort of finishing off the job. And, you're presumably going to definitely have Graham Potter now. So,
well, who knows? Who knows?
He seems a favourite. I've just seen he's the favourite now.
Is he
right?
Really?
Yeah.
Tottenham manager. Wow.
Just seen that. It just seems very odd that. I mean, I think he's a great manager, but I'm not quite convinced it's the right time. And it's quite, you know, it's the irony of football, isn't it? That Chris Hughton got us to 17th and got the sack. And we're 17th now.
I know.
We're looking at this. So, you know, that's
talking about perception, Brian.
Indeed.
Is that it? Okay.
Now, there's still a fascination in this country with the Cray twins, isn't there? And there is a new series we see, Secrets of the Crays. What new can they bring to the story, Mike?
I think this is a very good question. I'm not convinced they're bringing very much new at all. This is BritBox. This is the first of their own commissioned documentaries. It's a three-part series. Going into sort of forensic detail about the history of Ronnie and Reggie Cray, what they got involved in the 60s, and you know the armed robbery, murder, protection rackets, etc. I think it's a couple of things really. I think first and foremost, what BritBox is doing is trying to get subscribers by doing its own original programming, which is fair enough, but also tapping into the fascination for the Crays, which is a reasonably safe bet to a certain extent, and also the general fascination with true crime documentaries, which is, you know, is greater than ever now, and the opportunity to go into detail, which an ordinary, you know, maybe on a terrestrial channel wouldn't go into sort of 3 hour long episodes. But it is fascinating, and I think, you know, there's probably some people who, maybe younger viewers who might not be as familiar as everybody else with the story, and particularly the sort of way that these guys, you know, the dark lives they led, were also hobnobbing with some of the biggest stars of the day, you know, and you know, there's photos of them, you know, with, I don't know, Henry Cooper, there's a famous picture of them. Sort of, it's an extraordinary, you know, juxtaposition between the two. And David Bailey, of course, you know, legendary 60s photographer David Bailey, he turns up in it as well. I guess, you know, he says at one point, you have to be careful making heroes of people who don't deserve it, which is possibly a bit of an understatement to some extent, but he did take some extraordinary pictures of them.
Now, 8 o'clock, that's on BritBox, as you said, yeah. Mike. 8 o'clock tonight on Channel 4, a new quiz show, Tom Allen's Quizness, and I should declare an interest. It's been devised by a mate of mine who I work with on a number of projects on TV Burp and lots of other stuff as well, Dan Meyer, and this is his idea. And
it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? It's a kind of quiz, but it's funny.
Well, it's a quiz that's funny. I mean, it's quite hard to do this. And I, when I was writing about this for the paper, I was very conscious of the fact that if you're not careful, you make it sound like it's sort of enforced wackiness, which it isn't, and that's, you know, which is quite excruciating after about 5 minutes. But it's effectively, correct me if I'm summing this up wrongly, but it's a quiz where you have to have the general knowledge to answer the questions, but you also have to have mental dexterity to answer the questions in a different way depending on the round. So it's not it's not just straightforward delivering the answer. And by delivering the answers in the way you have to in each round, you're going to make yourself look a bit silly. So it's being willing to look a bit daft, I think, would be a key factor in the whole thing.
Tom Allen's in, and he's always funny. He's going to be funnier than Anne Hegarty, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Yes. Tom Allen's great. I mean, I think he's brilliant, and I know he's everywhere at the moment, and that often happens. But he's very funny, and you know, I've spoken to him a couple of times. He's a really nice guy. So, you know, good luck to him.
That's Channel 4, 8 o'clock. Channel 5, 8 o'clock. An alternative is Greg Wallace's Big Weekend. Is this basically Greg Wallace on holiday in Athens?
You know, Rick Stein's done this. Rick Stein's Weekend Away. You know, what's the point of this programme other than Greg going on holiday?
Jules Holland is on at 10 o'clock.
And okay. So,
it's Greg going on holiday, but being very enthusiastic and eating dough balls. There's a bit of a foodie element, but as you say, Rick Stein's done it. I would like people to just go to some less obvious places. I think that would be the one thing. Yeah, but as you say, Athens has probably been visited.
Probably can't go there anyway.
Well, Greg can.
Yeah,
and anybody in the background, it's going to date. In terms of repeats, this is really going to date because everyone around, you know, all the people in the background milling past have got masks on. So, you know, it's not one of those things where you can cover that aspect.
Show it in 5 years as the kind of museum piece.
I don't see it being a mainstay of BritBox in 10 years' time.
No. high praise indeed, Andy. Yes. Later with Jules Holland, he's back. Is it still him in his studio with one person?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be for some while. And I don't think there's any rush to do it any other way. It's Noel Gallagher on this first one. There's 10 High Flying Birds, 10 years. I can't believe it's 10 years. Wow. That he's been had his own band, but and he's always good value as Noel Gallagher. But I think I've said countless times, sometimes Jules is in sort of muso credentials become a little bit overpowering. You kind of just want him to get on with it a little bit, but you know, still love him.
10 o'clock then tonight on BBC Two. You directed us to a life in ten pictures last week with Muhammad Ali, which I watched. It was really good. Tomorrow night and BBC Two 9 PM.
It sounds good.
John Lennon.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this is fascinating and darkly fascinating for obvious reasons. Hamburg being the sort of early part of his time with the Beatles, but also some domestic scenes right at the start. The height of Beatlemania. Then you've got the famous bed in that he did, staying in bed for a week with Yoko, which brilliantly brought about world peace. So well done to them for that. And then towards the end, of course, you've got that haunting, terrible picture of an ominous picture of him signing an autograph for Mark Chapman just hours before he was killed. So there's so many different layers to this and so many different aspects of the story. So another intriguing one. I think it's the last of the series as well.
Now, sort of a bit of odd scheduling this seems to be. 6 PM on Channel 4 on Sunday. Mm. 50 years of Mr. Men with Matt Lucas.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a bit buried away in
I'll
be honest, I haven't actually seen this. I just pulled this out because I just thought it's something a little bit different that we'll have. Matt Lucas, he seems to be the sort of guy who would love the Mr. Men. But I hadn't realised they had been around 50 years. There was a question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire about a week or so ago, where you had to know, I think it was only one of the second or third questions along, so it was only worth about, I don't know, was it 200 quid, 500 quid, something like that. And it was like, what colour is Mr. Tickle, or, you know, Mr. Bump, or Mrs. Bump, or Miss Bump? Yeah. And I was thinking, is that a sort of question that you should get that early in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
It's worth a million quid, that one, Mr.
Tickle. You know, Andy, what colour's Mr. Tickle? Do you know what it is?
No idea. Okay. I think I possibly 1971, so I'd have been, beyond.
He's orange.
Is he orange?
In case anyone wants to know, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit too
He'll be
old.
Right behind Holland in the Euros.
He certainly will, never. Just announced their preliminary squad, bringing it back to sport. Mike, have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll catch up with you next week.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
Mike Ward there on the non-sporting telly. They have actually just announced their preliminary squad. That is true.
Yes, no, I know.
Yes.
Mr. Tickle's not in it.
No, he's. I don't think he is.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again next week. I mean, Andy, you're here on Monday.
I am, yes.
Marvellous. Yeah. If you can listen from one, great. If not, the podcast will be available, as always, around 5. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.